Is it important for us to do what God wants us to do? This was important to King David when he wrote Psalm 143, verses 10 and 11, "Teach me to do your will." You are listening to the Words of Life program, and the words, "Teach me to do your will," are the sermon topic for this Words of Life broadcast. Our speaker is Brother David Johnson. We're sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who pray and donate in support of this program. We now worship our Lord in song. Holy Father, it is only through the name of Jesus that we can speak to you in prayer. Thank you for that great privilege. Lord, teach us to do your will. Some of those who are hearing this program are lost in sin and need Jesus. Others are burdened with health issues and other concerns. We seek your help for them in knowing Jesus and having the healing and blessings found in the peace of Jesus. Please be with all the works of faith that uphold your name and protect your faithful throughout the world. When Jesus comes at your appointed time, please help us to be ready for him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now speak on the topic, Teach Me to Do Your Will.
It's great to be together again as we look in to the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, Teach Me to Do Your Will. And our text, which we will apply to our lesson, is taken from Psalm 143, verses 10 and 11. Listen to the Word of God. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. This is the word of God. May he add his blessing to the public reading of his word. A question very often asked is, how can I know God's will in my everyday life, and especially God's will regarding major decisions? Many believe that God's will is hidden and that we must search for His will like going on a treasure hunt. This is a very mistaken belief. God has made His will plain, and on many specific subjects in the Bible. And if there's not a specific subject that we're dealing with, then there are multitudes of principles, godly principles, that can lead us into God's will. And when we understand the major areas of God's will, we can more readily know how to make godly decisions in the details of our everyday life. Scripture reveals much of God's will for each of us clearly. As examples, number one, God's will is that we know Him personally and trust Him in His promises. For example, consider in the Gospel of John, Chapter 17 and verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The words of the Lord Jesus himself. Not only toward his first century disciples, but for us also, his 21st century disciples, or those seeking to be his disciples. That this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is certainly God's will. Another example that Scripture reveals regarding God's will for each of us individually and personally, and very clearly His will. God's will is that we love Him and love one another. Consider Matthew chapter 22 and verses 37 through 39. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. We should understand that if we could keep these two commandments, we would be basically keeping all of God's commandments. Knowing and practicing these major commandments of God's perfect will can guide us into His will regarding our everyday encounters with others in many different ways. For example, Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. That is, those that are willing to do menial work. Romans chapter 15 and verse 7. Another example of how we can seek to deal with people in everyday life. Romans chapter 15 and verse 7. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Another example. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, regarding God who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Another example of God's will regarding our interaction with others. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And then, how about Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. As we know and practice the major areas of God's will, we certainly can better accept the smaller details of our lives in God's will. Regarding in these texts, in Romans and 2 Corinthians and in the Ephesian epistle, living in harmony, accepting one another, being able to comfort others, being patient and bearing with another, being kind and compassionate and forgiving, are all general principles in the heart of God's will, which we can address and apply in our everyday lives. But how do we know very specifically what God's will is in our lives? Things such as which car or house to buy and the like. We should understand that these are not right or wrong, or not necessarily right or wrong moral choices. God gives us the freedom to make those type choices. Yet God wants us to make wise choices. They may not be moral choices, but they do involve stewardship choices. Let's consider at least 5 biblical principles in making wise choices that are not of the moral ethical type. Number 1, always, always start with prayer toward the Lord, the omniscient, all-knowing one. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says very clearly, "If anyone of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." When we go to the Lord in prayer, humbling ourselves, seeking answers, seeking wisdom, the Word of God says that to the believer, the person of faith, that God gives generously His wisdom. We may not hear a voice. We will not hear a voice. However, we can be prompted by the Holy Spirit indwelling the born-again baptized believer into the Scriptures and into conversation with more mature Christians and in other ways as God works in many ways to impart His wisdom to us. Second principle, go to the Scripture for guidance. Using a Bible concordance, it's like a large index, we can narrow down categories as related to the decision or choice we must make. For example, in buying an expensive item, a useful category to consult would be prudence, being careful about our choices, especially buying expensive items. Consider, for example, the book of Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 16 that says, "Every prudent man acts out of knowledge." In this case, knowledge of what he can, for example, realistically afford to buy. God expects us to be wise and to use our God-given brains, to use our common sense. When we're going to buy something expensive, we need to be prudent and act with knowledge of what we can afford to buy. A third principle, which is related to number 2. We need to do our research. When we're going to make a financial decision, for example, we need to gather the facts of the matter. A wise practice is to develop a pro and con list, what would be good or bad concerning our decision, in order to gain insight for a wise decision. Again, we have Scripture that speaks to this. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13, another book of wisdom, nugget that is imparted to us through the Word of God. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." That is, listening to the Scriptures, listening to more mature Christians or financial experts. If you're going to have to make a decision concerning, for example, insurance, you should speak to a licensed insurance agent. "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." The Living Bible Paraphrase translation puts it in modern language, quote, "What a shame, yes, how stupid, to decide before knowing the facts," end quote. A fourth principle, seek godly advice from others. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22, "Plans fail for lack of counsel." Wise counsel from experts, from parents, from mature Christians is always something that we should consider. A fifth principle, let life's experiences teach you. Wisdom dictates that a person shouldn't make the same type mistake twice. We should learn from our mistakes. Proverbs chapter 90 and verse 12 speaks to this. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So wise counsel is this. God's will does not so much involve what you do or not do, but instead who you are and who you belong to. If we seek to know God intimately and to love others as ourselves, then you and I will be a person after the Lord's own heart and be more likely to consistently make godly and wise choices in life. Consider a very wise Puritan Christian who wrote many years ago, centuries ago. His name was Thomas Watson, who wrote this regarding being the person to do God's will. Quote, "Let us labor for self-denial. Unless we deny our own will, we shall never do God's will. His will and ours are like the wind and the tide when they are contrary. He wills one thing, we will another. We also need to have a humble heart. Pride is the spring of disobedience. The humble says, Lord, what will you have me to do? He puts, as it were, a blank paper into God's hand and bids him to write what he wills, and we will subscribe to it. And so each of us genuinely desiring God's will in our everyday lives should beg the grace and strength of God. We do not need to be taught to do our own will. That we can do very fastly enough. Instead, teach me to do thy will, is our prayer. As the magnet draws the iron, God's Spirit will make it delightful to do God's will. Our constant prayer is as in Psalm 143 and verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good Spirit lead me on level ground. End of quote. May we all remain in God's will, especially faithful to Him from first to last.
Yeah.
We are in hope that you are wanting to do the will of God. If we can help you in your decision to serve Jesus and have Him be the Master and Lord of your life, please write to us. To receive a free CD of this and last week's program, ask for program number 2130. That's 2130. We look forward to hearing from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.